Today's show in the Daf Yomi is Gemara in Bava Kama, Daf Samach Bav. We're learning today Le'ilui Nishmas, Eva Ruder. All the shows we learn for Shavuot Aliyah, and as always, we continue to learn for the safety and the success of Tzal, the Kochos HaBitachon. They should be Ezer Tzashem, bring back all the hostages safely, b'mheira, and in good health, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be Shomer Al Kol Yisrael. Okay, we pick up about halfway down the Daf Samach Bav Amud Aleph, 12 lines down with the words Omar Rabba. Now here we're going to introduce a discussion that's a little bit based upon what we had yesterday. Is a shinoi going to make a kinyan for the person who makes the shinoi, whether it's a stolen object or a lost object? And here we're going to delve into it a little bit further, and we're going to discuss shinoi as well as we're going to discuss yeyush. Yeyush is a very, very important concept. It means a person gives up hope of ever getting back the item. So how does that play into halacha? So we'll see. So Rabbah first starts off and talks about shinoi. And he says, Omar Rabbah, Rabbah tells us, shinoi is definitely kone. And Rashi says in Dibra Masko, shinoi kone, hecha dishani luhu v'yodayim. Rashi says, you're dealing here with a person making a change with his own hands. The Mefarshim discuss what would be the halacha if it's not made with your own hands, and they seem to suggest that the Gemara later on Daf Tzadi Gimel, actually says that even if you don't do the change with your hands, but right now we'll just leave it like Rashi seems to suggest, that if a person makes the change with their hands, so pshitalei, it is clear and obvious to Rabbah, demid d'oraisa vaday kona, that if you make a shinui to the object, you acquire that object on a d'oraisa level. And when you do have an obligation still to return it, you don't have to return that exact object because it now is yours. You will kone it with this shinoi. Elo, where you have an obligation to return it, so then you can just pay elo domim mishalim. Then you just have to pay back the value, just have to pay back how much it was worth. But you can keep that item. For example, what would be an example of a shinoi? So Rashi says, kigon tsemer, there was wool, v'yosol v'gadim, and you made it into a sweater. You made it into clothing. D'ha, ksiva, behedja, utnina, v'chuli. As the Gemara will now say, this is based upon psukim and based upon mishnayis. However, Rashi says, we're going to discuss in a moment, yeyush, avo yeyush, mesavkale, Rabbah is certain that by shinoi is kona on derais level. But he's going to have a sofik in regards to yeyush, that is it kona on a derais level or on a derabana level. So now, let's continue the Gemara. Amar Rabbah, shinoi is kona because ksiva visanina, because we have both psukim as well as mishnayis that teach us that this is in fact a kinyan de araisa. Where's the pasuk? So ksiva, the pasuk says, the heshiv es hagzela asher gozal, that a person has an obligation to go and return the gzela, and it says seemingly unnecessary words, asher gozal. Well, of course, if it's a gzela, it's that you stole. So why does it have to tell us, ma tamud lomar asher gozal? Why does it have to tell us the gzela that you stole? A gzela is by definition something that you stole. So the drasha is, im ke'ein shegozal, if it's in the same way as it was when you stole it, i.e. no change, so then, yachzi, you have an obligation to return that exact item. However, if you made a shinui on it, in other words, the imlav, it is not asher gozal, it is now change. You stole wool, and now it's a sweater. So then, domim bi'alma boy shlomi, you stole all the money. It's not like you don't have to pay the money, you stole. So you have to pay, but you don't have to give back the wool, i.e. the sweater. You can just give the value of the wool that you stole, domim bi'alma boy shlomi. So these are the psukim that it's based upon. Now, we learn this in the Mishnah, Tanina, in the following Mishnah. This is a Mishnah, as I mentioned before, on Sadi Gimel Amud Beis. Hagozel Eitzin, if a person steals wood, and then Vason Kalim. So he steals wood, and he makes it into a chair. So he steals 2x4s, and he makes them into a chair. Or Tzemer, he steals the wool, Vason Begodim, and he makes it into a sweater, he makes it into clothing. In these situations, the Mishnah states, Mishalim Kishas Hagzela, you don't have to return the chair that you made the wood into, you don't have to return the sweater that you made the Tzemer into, but you have to pay for the amount of money that the Eitzim were worth at the time that you stole them, for the amount that the wool was worth at the time that you stole it, Mishalim Kishas Hagzela. So here's a Mishnah that definitively states that Shinui is Kone. Alternatively, Inami, we have another Mishnah. This Mishnah is talking about, Rashi tells us, about Reishis Hagaz that you have to give to the Kohen. Reishis Hagaz is when you have a certain number of sheep or a certain number of wool that is sheared from those sheep that you have to give it a matana to the Kohen. This is one of 24 matnas kahuna called Reishis Hagaz. So, if you didn't give this to the Kohen, lo hispik lit no lo ad shitzavo, as Rashi brings down, that me Reishis Hagaz de kanya bishinoi. This was supposed to have been Reishis Hagaz, but instead you were acquiring it with a shinoi by dyeing it, by coloring it. So in this situation, potter. And Rashi says, Vafilu domim lo mishalim. You don't even have to now give the kohen the value of the wool that it was at the time of the shearing. Because the ain kohen yochol has mino bedin. Because there is no specific kohen that can take you to basin and say, hey, you didn't give me the ratios of gez. Because you know what? You could tell him, the yochol omar, you could tell that kohen, lu, li achar at nenu. I wasn't going to give it to you anyway. So you're not a bal din. You have no taina to me. Why didn't I give it to you? I was going to give it to Yankel, the other kohen. Yankel comes and says, oh, we're going to give it to Aaron, the other kohen. So in these situations, there is no kohen that can go in and be a litigant to him and say, why didn't you give it to me? Avol, kodem shizvo. In fact, however, Rashi tells us that before it was dyed, so then if a kohen were to grab it, mi shechotvo zochabo. If a kohen were to grab this ratio again, he would in fact get it. He would be zoch in it. Now, what does it mean, zoch in it? So if you look in the Gilyon HaShas, so he brings down that this is something that is discussed by the poskim, and what it means is that you still have the right as the owner of this wool to give it to whoever you want. And therefore, this zochus is what he has to pay you for. He can't pay you for the ratios against value because that you're going to give away anyway. But the right that you have, what's called tovas hana, I could give it to Yankel, or I could give it to Aaron, or I could give it to Yitzchak, whichever coin I want to. So that's worth it to me, that this coin will be happy that I gave it to him, and he'll like me, he'll invite me over for supper one day. So for that tovas hana, the right of giving it to the rest of what I want, that is what the coin who grabbed it would have to pay him. So the wool's worth $100. And this tovas hana is worth $5. So the coin who grabbed it before it was dyed would have to give him $5 because that's all it really was worth to that guy. He doesn't own the wool. But once he goes and dyes it and they didn't give it to the coin, so then there is no requirement to go and pay back the Kohanim because it is now his. So therefore, what do you see from the psukim and from these drushos? Alma shinui kona. So Rabbi says there is no doubt that shinui is kona on the rice level. Now Rabbi introduces Yeush. Rashi explains Yeush is shinish yashu habalim. The owner of the item has given up hope of ever getting it back. So here we have a question. Ami Rabbanan. Rabbi says that the Chacham said the nickname. Yes, Yeush is definitely kona according to Rabbi. However, miu lo yadinon either raisa either rabbanon. That which the rabbis say that Yeush does work to make the acquisition on behalf of the person who now has acquired it because the original owners were misyayish, they had given up hope of ever getting it back. So in this situation, we don't know if that works, Rabbi says, on a daraisa level or on a derabbanon level. Now, what are the two possibilities? E daraisa, Rabbi says, if this is a din daraisa, that Yeush is kone, so this would be comparable, mide dahava amotzi aveda. This would be analogous to a person who finds an aveda. Now, motzi aveda, in regards to the laws, if you find an aveda, lav isn't the halacha, kivan de miyayesh mora mina, if the original owner has given up hope of ever finding it. He lost this in New York City subway, and there's no way, there's hundreds of thousands of people that are going there, there's no way he's getting it back. So, mikame de tesel yode konile, if the owner was misyayish before it came into the possession of the person who found it, so then there is definitely a kinyan over here. So too, just like by an aveda, there is a kinyan on a daraisa level, hainami, by the ganav as well. Kivan the miyayish mora konile. Since the owner of this item has given up hope of ever getting it back, he has no expectation to get it back. It was stolen from him. And therefore, when he is misyayish, so then the ganav is actually konit. Now, it doesn't mean the ganav doesn't have to pay him back. He just doesn't have to give him back that item extant the way it is. He can give him back the domim, the value of it, because he is konit with yayish. That's one side of the coin. That's according to Rabbah, if you say that this is a din daraisa. Alma, you see from this first part that Alma Kani, that we do consider it a din daraisa, that the yeyush of the owner is going to allow the acquisition by the ganav to be acquiring it. Odilmo, do we say no? Lo dami l'aveda, we don't compare it to the aveda. By the aveda, we had said that it's a din daraisa, that you're kone, but the aveda was different. Aveda, hu dechi asoy liyodei, behtera asoy liyodei. The owner lost this item in Grand Central Station. He says, there's no way I'm ever getting this back. It's been stepped on. It's been kicked away. It's been taken by a ganav. It's definitely not coming back to me. So he's totally misyayish. And now the person finds it. So the acquisition occurs after the yayish. In other words, it came into his hands absolutely beheter. So beheter osiliyode, in that situation, it's kona. But the ganav, avohai, the guy that stole the item, kiven to be sura osiliyode, so it came into his hands because of a theft that he did. So maybe in this situation, you're not calling it on a derice level. We want to encourage people to return stolen goods. midrabanan hu. But on a derabanan level, the rabbi said, yes, we will consider you acquiring it, but in order to facilitate your doing tshuva, we'll let you not have to give back this item, but just to pay for the value of it. The Amar Rabbana nickname Ibn Takonis HaShavim. This is a famous rule, also known as Takonis Morish, which we'll see where that name comes from towards the end of the Shia today. And that is, the rabbis knew that when you steal something, you might have a desire for that item, or you may really want that item. And let's say you stole a piece of wood and you built it into the bottom of your building or to the ceiling of your building. And now to take it apart, it'd be a great loss to you. So if you had to give the item back extant, I always like to give the example. You stole the brick and use it to build the bottom of the Empire State Building. So you can't take that brick out. The whole building will fall down. So the brick is worth $5. The Empire State Building is worth $5 billion or $1 trillion. So in this situation, no ganav is going to return it if he has to return the brick and knock down a $5 billion, trillion-dollar building for a $5 thing. So therefore, this is Takonos Morish. The rabbi said, in order to facilitate this guy to do tshuva, if you make him pay an exorbitant amount, he has to knock down his entire house to return the beam that he stole. A Morish is a beam. So if you make him knock down the entire house to return the beam, there's no way he's going to return it. But if you say, just pay $10 for the value of the beam, that he'll do. In this way, mipnei takonos hashavim, in order to facilitate people to do tshuva and return the value, at least, of what they stole. So the rabbi said, midirabanan your kone with yeyush, but not under the rice level. So these are the two sides of the coin for Rabbi's din. And he says, Yeush is definitely kone, but he's not sure, is it kone under the rice level or under the rabbana level? That is the opinion of Rabbah. Again, just to quickly chazer. So Rabbi says, in regards to Ashinoi, everybody agrees that that's on a deraisa level going to be kona. In regards to Yeyush, so machlokis, according to Rabbah, whether it's kona on a deraisa level or a derabana level, but it definitely is kona. And along comes Rabbah's famous Bar Pukla, Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef disagrees. Rav Yosef Amar, no, Yeyush is not kona, Yeyush ain't no kona, afilu midirabana. Even on derabana, certainly not on a deraisa level, but even on a derabana level, Yossi says that Yeush is not kni. It's not going to be kona, the item for the person. Now, we'll spend the rest of the shiur back and forth between Rabbah and Rav Yosef. Just we'll see at the end of the shiur as well, the Rabbah and Rav Yosef were Bali Plukta. They were also great friends. And originally, Rav Yosef was supposed to become the head of the yeshiva. Rav Yosef said no. He saw that he and Rabbah were supposed to be both the heads of the yeshiva. And he saw that he would die at the end of his being the Rosh Yeshiva. So therefore he said, no, Rabbah, you go first. So he let Rabbah become the Rosh Yeshiva first, and Rabbah was the Rosh Yeshiva for 22 years, and only subsequently did Rav Yosef, at the death of Rabbah, become the Rosh Yeshiva. So because he was so magnanimous, so he ended up living an extra 22 years. In any event, Rabbah and Rav Yosef have divergent opinions on Yeyush. Again, Rabbah says that Yeyush is kone either on a deraisa or the rabbanan level, and Rav Yosef says it's not kone at all. So Esrei Rav Yosef l'Rabbah. So Rav Yosef, who says Yeyush is not kone at all, not on a deraisa or the rabbanan level, questions Rabbah. And he says, what about the following case? This is a Mishnah that we have later in the Masechta as well, in Daf Tzadi Vav Amud Beis, where it says, if a person steals chametz, gozal chametz, a person steals chametz, now it's right before Pesach, so you steal the chametz, it's worth something, but the avril of a Pesach, now the chametz has passed, it hasn't been given over to a goy, it's not sold, so the chametz is now in the possession of a yid on Pesach, and the rabbis will go there, the chametz, she'avril of a Pesach, is asur bahanor. So therefore, this chametz is now worthless. It has no financial value. And we turn to Samach Vavu Beis. So Gozal chametz for Avril of a Pesach. So Gemara says, Omer lo harei shechol fenecha. The ganav wants to do tshuva now. And he says, here's your chametz back. So he stole five loaves of bread. They're halachically worth zero right now. So he goes and gives it back to the person he stole it from after Pesach. It's also bahanor. So he's giving it back essentially a valueless item, but he says, here it is, Omelo, Hare Shechol Fanecha. Now, what type of chametz are we talking about? Bahai Kivon Demoto Idon Isura, since it became Asur during the start of Pesach, because it's Asur Bahanor, and therefore it is worth zero. So Vada Miyayish, the owner of those five loaves of bread, said, I ain't getting this back, so therefore he was definitely Ma'ayish. As soon as Pesach started, he said, I can't get it back, it's worth nothing. So he was definitely Ma'ayish. Now, what did this Mishnah say? If you're telling me, if Yeyush allows the Ganav to now acquire those loaves of bread, so then, how can he say, here's your loaves of bread back? The Ganav acquired them, so they belong now to the Ganav, and they're worthless in the hands of the Ganav. He still owes the original owner of these five loaves of bread, the value of those five loaves of bread. If you're telling me that Yeyush is Kini, so then the Ganav owns it, and the Ganav suffers the loss to make those breads worthless in his possession, and he still has to pay back the owner, the original owner, the value of the five loaves of bread. So Amai Omelo, Haresh Cholofanecha, how can the Ganav say, here are your loaves back, they're not his loaves anymore? Demei Ma'aliya Boy Shalomle, he owes him the value. Those loaves are the Ganav's. The value of the loaves is what he stole, and therefore he should pay that back. So Rav Yossi says to Rabbah, you see from here that Yeyush is not Kona, because he can say, I never was Kona these loaves, here are your loaves back. Aye, the fact that they're worth nothing, that's your problem, not my problem. Now, the Gemara elsewhere discusses that on a based in level, on a Dine Adam level, technically this might be the rule. But to be Yotzei B'nei Shemayim, of course he would have to go pay him back the a value of the money that he stole. In any event, Rav Yossi says to Rabbah, you see clearly from this Mishnah, on Daf Tzadi Vav, that in fact, Yeyush is not Kona, because it still belongs to the original owner, and not to the Ganav. So now, what does Rabbah say to that? On Malay, Rabbah would say back to Rav Yossi, Ki Kamina, no, when I say that Yeyush is Kona, that's only in a situation where the original owner is Misyayish, Zeh Misyayish, Vizer Rotsa Liknos, and the person, the Ganav in this situation, wishes to acquire it. So the combination of Yeyush and the new owner, so to say, the Ganav, wanting to acquire it, in that situation, I say that Yeyush is Kona. But in this situation, Haizem Misyayish, yes, the original owner is Misyayish. He's never getting his bread back because now it's Pesach. Vizeino Rotsa Liknos, but the Ganav doesn't want to acquire it. And the Sharman Tsuyom, the Halacha, brings down the Ktosa Choshen. And he says, there's an interesting idea over here. When a person is Misyayish, it still belongs to him until somebody else is Kona it. So you have here, the original owner was Misyayish, but it still belongs to him. It's not Hefker. It belongs to him until somebody comes along and is Kona it. So Yeyush can, in fact, allow a Kenyan to take place, but Rabbah, as explained over here by Sharman Tzion Ba'alocha, in the name of Sosek Choshen, says that it only becomes the Ganav's if the Ganav wishes to acquire it. It doesn't automatically become his. And therefore, the Ganav says, hey, I don't want to acquire this. It's worth zero. So it still belongs to you. And then when he wants to do tshuva, he can return those loaves back and be Yotzi at least, be Dei Adam. So that's how Rabbah would explain this Mishnah on Tzadi Vav to be in accord with his Shita that Yeyush is Kona. But here, it's Yeyush is Kona only with the acquisition of the Ganav, the new Balabayas. And therefore, he wasn't Koned. So therefore, it still belongs to the original owner. Okay. Gemara says again, Esli Abaya L'Rabba. Now, we have the Girsa over here, Rabba. But if you see in the Besar Sashas, he has the Girsa Rabba. Now, later on, we'll have Omele Rabba. So maybe that is how it works. But it really is the Kasha on Rabba's Shita. In any event, we're asking, Abaya is asking a question to either Rabba or Rabba on Rabba's Shita that, in fact, Yeyush is Kona. So, the Pasuk tells us, Im Ola Korbano Min HaBakar. So then, Zachar Tamim Yakrivenu Epesach Omoe Yakriv Oso Lir Tzonol Vnei Hashem. So if a person is bringing a Ola, it has to be his Ola, Korbano. It doesn't say Im Ola Korban Min HaBakar. It says Korbano. And this is Darshind below HaGozul. You can only bring your own Korban to a Korban for Hashem, and not somebody else's carbon that you have stolen. Below HaGozel. Now, Hechidami, what exactly is the case over here that Abaya is now questioning Rabbah? You're saying that Yeyush is Kona, so what are we talking about? Hechidami, Ilema Lifnei Yeyush, if we're talking here that it was before the original owner had given up hope of ever getting his stolen animal back, so Lamalikra, then why would they need a pasuk? Pshita, it's obvious that he can't go, the person who stole it can't go and make it hektish. It doesn't belong to him. As Tosu says, in the top Tosos, Ilema Lifnei Yeyush, Lama Likra Pshita, Dafilu Kachenu. If he did make it hektish, Eino Kadosh. It can't make something hektish. It doesn't belong to you. The Gezel, Velo Nisyashu Balam. It's both stolen, and the original owners haven't given up hope about it yet. So Shten, Ein Yichol Laktish. Neither of them can go and make it hektish. So in this situation, Pshita, obviously, that can't be what it's talking about. I don't need a pasuk to tell me that carbon no has to belong to you, Velo HaGozel. No, what must it be talking about? El Alav, Li'acha Yeyush. The Pasuk must be referring to after the original owner was Misyayesh, and then the Ganav went to go and give this as his carbon. No, so the Pasuk tells us, El Alav, Li'acha Yeyush. And what do we see? Shema Minah, Yeyush Lokani. It's not called carbon, no, even though the original owner has given up hope. Nevertheless, it's called still gozel. So you need korban. No, you can only bring your own korban, the law of gozel. And there's a kash on Rabbah. Abaya asks on Rabba, even though he may be asking it to Rabba, he's asking on Rabba's Shita, the Rabba says that Yeish is Kona, I mean the Raisa with the Rabbanan, but here you clearly see that it's not Kona, because the Pasuk says only Korban, no. It has to be your Korban, and that implies Lo HaGazel. So, obviously, this is talking about that there was after Yeush, and yet he's not called acquiring it. Obviously, Yeush lo kani. So how do we answer this question? So Amalei Rava, here we have specifically that it's Rava that answers back, and Rava answers back on behalf of the Shita of Rabba that Yeush is Kona. He says, Ul Tamech, he says, according to you, Abaya, you have no problems with understanding this pasuk the way you said it, that it's after Yeush? No, I'll show you that that's not right. Ul Tamech, according to you, that says the word Karbono is talking about after Yeush of the original owner. So then, how do you understand the following pasuk? Hadatanya, we learn the following brisa where it talks about the ish asher yigah b'mishkavo. If somebody touches the mishkav of a zav and says bedavka mishkavo yichabes bigadav v'ruchatz b'mayim v'tamei ad arev, so that person becomes tamei. Now it says mishkavo, implication being same like karbono meant v'lo hagazul. So mishkavo means you have to touch his mishkav v'lo hagazul, and not a mishkav that was stolen. Now again, hechidam, what are we talking about? Elema, if you're going to tell me the gazal imra, we're talking here about a person stealing wool, the abde mishkav, and then he made it into some sort of a seat. He made it into a cushion or a seat of some sort that can be sat upon. So he made it into a mishkav. So then, mikol man diomar shinu ma'isa l'koni. Wait a second. Rabbi had previously said that everybody agrees. There's no machlokas. We don't find Rabbi Yosef arguing that. Everybody agrees that a shinu ma'isa is konet. So he took it from being wool and he made it into a seat cushion. He made it into some sort of a mishkav. So then, in that situation, everybody would be a kone, so then that would be called mishkavo. So obviously, elamai islachamema, what must you be touching up mishkavo? The gozal mishkav dechavre, that he in fact stole his friend's mishkav. And therefore, in that situation, and the pasuk tells us that it's only mishkavo, only if it's your mishkav is it going to make it be metame, but if it's your friend's mishkav, it's not going to be metame. So too, this is after it was already made into this couch. He took the wool and made it into this mishkav. So it must be talking about that it was the original owner's mishkav. The gazal mishkav dechavre. So therefore, if mishkav means it's the mishkav of the original owner, so then, so too, the karbono means it's the karbon of the original owner. Hochanami, the gazal karbon dechavre, that he actually stole the karbon. Aye, what about our point before that it's pshita? So Rashi explains, the gazal karbon dechavre, and that Dibra Maskli says, shehikdish chaveiro, that his friend had made it hektish. The ola olam lifnei yeyush, and this is now talking about before yeyush. The itzrich liyashminan, and you need to tell us in the pasuk that you're only going to be able to bring your own karbon, the eina ola lirotzon klal, vafilu lebalam rishonim. If this ganav goes who brings it, not only does it not work for the ganav, it doesn't work to bring it on behalf of the original owner. The afal gav v'lo havi yeish, even though there was no yeish. That's the first pshat in Rashi. Second pshat in Rashi, lishna achrina, the gozal karbon dechavre, yes, he stole the karbon of his friend. Hilkach, the chiddush over here is, afilu liyach yeish, even if the yeish, lo kanya, he's not able to acquire it, the karbon ain't no nigzal, because the karbon can never be stolen. Because the chol hecha, the ise, wherever it is, be gozal derachmona ise, it's always in God's possession. It never can leave God's possession. So therefore, even though the original owner was misyayish, and even though this God has it in, quote, his possession, but it's still a carbon. It belongs to God. And God can't lose something. It always belongs to God. You can't take it away from God. So these are the two pshatim in Rashi to get around the question of mishkavo should be different than korban. No, no. They're exactly the same scenario. And therefore, there's no kasha on Rabba's position that Yeush is Kona. Now we flip it around. Ask Abaya Rav Yosef. Now we're going to ask on Rav Yosef. You, Rav Yosef, who say that Yeush is not Kona, not on the Rice level, but not even on the Rabbanu level. So Abaya asks on Rav Yosef. Ask Abaya Rav Yosef. He says from the following Mishnah. This is a Mishnah that we have in Kalim. Now, it's important to know that this Mishnah in Kalim is found in Perek Chavav Mishnah Ches, because we're going to bring down in a moment another Mishnah that follows right along, and that is actually the previous Mishnah in Perek Chavav Mishnah Zayin, to show the beat to Mishnah are talking about the same subject. So just keep that in mind. You'll see what I mean in a few moments. So Abaya asks on Rav Yosef in this following Mishnah in Kalim. It says in this Mishnah, Oros shel bal habayis. If you have hides that belong to a bal habayis, so he's not a professional. So Mistama, he's leaving these hides as they are. He's not planning on making them into a leather jacket. He's going to use them as a hide. Let's say to just put as a doorstop, to put as a footstool, or just to put out the way they are. In other words, his machshava completes it. I'm not doing anything further with it. I'm going to use this as a welcome mat, or I'm going to use this as a placemat, and that's it. I'm not going to do anything else with it. So it's now called the kli. So Oro Shel Bal HaBayis, a plain Bal HaBayis who's not a professional, Machshava, his thoughts, that now it's completed, Mitamosev, makes this now into a kli that it can accept Tumah. However, Shel Abdon, if you're dealing here over here with a professional tanner, a professional maker of hides, so he may not keep this as a placemat, keep this as a welcome mat. He says, listen, that's what I think right now. But no, if a client comes in and says, oh, I'd like to make this into a jacket, he'll change it. So therefore, Shel Abdon, the professional tanner, so in this situation, Ein Machshava Mitamosen, he doesn't make it into a kli by just saying, I think I'm going to leave this as a placemat. I think I'm going to leave this as a doormat over here. Because he could easily change his mind. He's a professional. And if somebody wishes to make it into a jacket, he'll change it and make it into a jacket. That's the first statement in the Braisa. Shel Ganav, now here we're going to have a machlokas between two opinions as to what the din is by a Ganav or a Gaza. But the bottom line is, we're going to see, and this is going to be the question of Yosef, that with a Shinoi, either from the Ganav or the Gazlan, we'll see that's the machlokas, but everybody agrees that one of the two, either the Ganav or the Gazlan, acquires it with a Shinoi. So therefore, that's going to be the Kashan of Yosef. Now, what's the din by the Ganav? The Mishnah tells us, if a Ganav steals a hide, so Machshava Mitamosad, according to this opinion, the Ganav's Machshava, he's like now the owner of it because he's Kona it. So just like we just said, Oro Shel Bal HaBayis, Machshava Mitamosad, so to the Ganav is like the Bal HaBayis right now. He's not a professional tanner. He doesn't have the ability to make it into a jacket. So therefore, Shel Ganav Machshava Mitamosad. So he says, yeah, I'm going to use this as a placemat. So it is a placemat and is now Makabel Tumah as a kli because the Ganav was Kona it. As opposed to the first opinion, Shel Gazlan, the difference between a Ganav and a Gazlan, we said many times already, a Ganav is somebody who steals something surreptitiously. He's afraid of the owner, so he comes in sneakily at night. He's not afraid of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's why he says we pay kefil. He's giving more credence to a person than he is to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. In any event, that's not here for now. So the Ganav is the one who steals it surreptitiously. As opposed to a Gazlan, he walks brazenly into your house and he grabs your hide and he takes it. So the Gazlan, he's not afraid of you. So therefore, Ein Machshava Mitamosa, his Machshava is not going to be acquiring it because the opinion of the Tanakhama over here is that your knowing who this Gazlan is means that you're not miyayish. You said, I'm going to take this guy to court eventually. I'll figure out how to get this back from this strong-armed guy. I'll take him to court. I'll protect myself. And therefore, I'm not giving up hope. So with the Gazlan, you don't give up hope. So therefore, the Gazlan wasn't Konet miyayish. As opposed to the Ganav, you wake up in the morning and it's gone. You have no idea who took it. You're never going to find the Ganav. So the Tanakhama says, the Ganav you were misyayish for. The Gazlan you're not misyayish for. That's the reason the Tanakhama. But he agrees that the Ganav is Kona with Yayush. Now, Rabbi Shimon says the exact opposite. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Chilf Advar, Pum Faker. The exact opposite. Shel Gazlan, according to Rabbi Shimon, Machshav Mitamosu. Here, the Gazlan really was Kona with Yayush because he's a strong-armed guy. He's a tough guy, right? He's a mafioso guy. And there's no way you're going to start up with this guy. So, no, he grabbed your hide. That's it. You figured, I'm giving up hope. I ain't getting that hide back. So, that's why the Gazlan is able to be Kona with Yayush, and therefore his machshava makes it into a kli, and it's now capable of accepting tumah. But the Ganav, Shel Ganav, ein machshava mitamosa. This guy, according to Rabbi Shimon, says, listen, I'll figure out who this Ganav is eventually. We'll get detectives on the case, we'll get fingerprints, we'll figure out, I'll find out, this guy stole my stuff. Eventually, I don't know right now, but eventually I've hoped that I'll get it. I'm not misyayish. I'm not giving up hope. And therefore, the Ganav can't acquire it with Yayish, because there is no Yayish, and therefore, the Ganav's Machshava is not going to be Metamoson. Lefi Shalom Nishashua Balam, because the Balam didn't give up hope for the Ganav. So whether you hold like the Tanakhama, whether you hold like Rosh Shimon, Tanakhama says the Ganav is Kone because of Yayush. Rabbi Shimon says the Gazlan is Kone because of Yayush. Bottom line is, Ushmamino, Yayush Kone. Each of them holds that Yayush is Kone. Kasha on Rav Yosef, who says that Yayush is not Kone. So how would Rav Yosef respond to that? So Malay, Rav Yosef would respond to Abaye, Hoch my skin, you know what we're talking about? Dealing over here with Kigon, Shekitson. We're dealing over here with this hide, still required some cutting of it. It needed to still be cut into the proper shape and form. And that's why it's a mice over here that's Kone for the Ganov or the Gazlan respectively, and that's why they're Kone. Because everybody agrees that with a mice, you're Kone. But if it's not a mice, so then the Shita is, Rav Yosef says, that you're not Kona with Yayush alone. More questions, and says, wait a second. Masik lo rabo bar Rav Chanon. Remember, I pointed out before that the Mishnah that we brought down was from Kalim Perich Chavav Mishnah Ches, but the previous Mishnah, Kalim Perich Chavav Mishnah Zayin, which is connected to Mishnah Ches, says that even though it requires still some cutting, some kitzon, some trimming, that is not called a shinoi. Halo itzba shanukan, because the previous Mishnah, Mishnah Zayin, is talking about an itzva. An itzva, Rashi tells us, is something called dulbaki, sha'ochlanulav. This is like a placemat. Ukein shulchanu. And it's like a table. So this itzva is, in fact, what the Mishnah previous to this, Mishnah Perek Chavav, Mishnah Zayin is talking about. The itzba eino tzricha kitzua. And an itzba doesn't require any cutting to be done, any trimming of it to be done. Because as soon as the person says, I'm using this as an itzba, even though there is trimming that will still be done, but Rashi says, the itzva eino tzricha kitzua, it says, the belav kitzua, even without that trimming, without that cutting, nami mitama, it still is functional as a kli. It can function as this placemat. Shakitsua ainu also yafos. The purpose of the trimming is just to make it prettier, but it's still functional. So therefore, since it's functional, it's now clear and it can accept tumah. I umino tamer Rashi said the beitzwa kaasik. How do we know that we're talking about an itzwa in Mishnah Ches Perichavav Mishnah Ches? Because this Mishnah Zayin is continuing with Mishnah Ches, and they're therefore both talking about Kitzua. As we now see back inside of the Gemara, it's Ein Tzriach Kitzua, it's not. As we learned in this Mishnah, in Perek Chavav, Mishnah Zayin, it says there, Kol Makom She'ein Chisaron Melacha, any place that there is nothing lacking from it, so then machshava mitamasu, then just the thought that I'm going to use this as this makes it into a keli. But Yesh Chisaron Melacha, you can't think that it's going to be a shoe if it's not yet a shoe. It needs to be made into something else. So ein machshava mitamaso. So then your machshava that it should be a kli right now doesn't do anything because it still requires to be formed into the shape of a shoe. One exception to this rule, chutz mina itzba, except for this itzba. Why is that? Because the itzba is functional already as a placemat, even though it's not beautiful, but it's functional. So therefore, if Mishnah Perek Chavav Mishnah Zayin is talking about an itzba, then mistama Mishnah Perek Chavav Mishnah Ches is also talking about an itzva, and therefore you can't say kagon shekitzon. So therefore, that's the kasha on this teretz that we had given. So Rav Yosef saying that it requires a ma'isa kitzon, so Rabba by Rav Chana says that that's not true. So how do we answer that? Elama Rava. Rava says, Hai milso koshi be Rabba le Rav Yosef esrim v'tartin shnin. So this back and forth between Rabba and Rav Yosef, do we or do we not say that a Yeyush makes a kinyan or not? Rabbi says yes, either the rice of the Rabbanan, or Yosef says no. So they were fighting about this, so to say, for 22 years. They never resolved this problem in the 22 years that Rabbi was leading the base medrash. Vloi Park, it never was solved. Ad the Yosef, Rabbi Yosef, Bereisha, until Rabbi Yosef took over the Rosh Yeshiva Shaft, he took over as the head of the yeshiva when Rabbi passed away. After the 22 years, I said before, they were offered Rav Yosef the position before Rabbah. But he said, no, he had a Kabbalah. He knew that Rabbah was also going to be the Rosh Yeshiva. And if Rabbah was going to be the Rosh Yeshiva, so that could occur either before Rav Yosef was the Rosh Yeshiva or after Rav Yosef. But it was to his advantage to say, let Rabbah be the Rosh Yeshiva for us as long as he's the Rosh Yeshiva, fine. And then I'll take over afterwards. And this way I'll live that much longer. So that's what happened. So Rabbah was the Rosh Yeshiva for 22 years. And then afterwards, Rav Yosef took over when Rabbah passed away. So Adi Yosef, Rav Yosef, Bereisho Pirka. Finally, when he became the Rosh Yeshiva, when Rabbah passed away, now they finally solved the problem over here. And they said, Shinui Hashem Kishinui Ma'isadomi. Here we're dealing with a shinui in the name of the item that also is going to make Yeyush acquire it. Because it is the shinui Hashem with Yeyush that works. Yeyush alone won't work. But the shinui Hashem with Yeyush will go and work. Now, shinui Ma'isa Ma'itaima. How does the shinui Ma'isa work? So, Hasa Meikara Eitzim. When something originally was wood, and now Hashta Kalim is now a chair, it's now a utensil, so Shinu Hashem works the same way. Shinu Hashem Nami. Meikara Karush Le Mashcha. It originally was called a hide, and now the Hashta Abarzin. And now it's called something Abarzin. Rashi says that's the Itzba, Beloshin Arami. Avo Yeyush Greda Lokani, but Yeyush by itself will not acquire it. And that's how we finally resolve this question many, many years later. Now, the Gemara says, wait a second. Dari Morish, the Iko Shinu Yashem, when you have a beam, a Marish is a beam, and you then build it into the building, it changes its name. So why isn't the original owner Misyayish at that point in time, and it has a Shinu Yashem, so the person should acquire it? But we said it's only Takana Marish that he acquires it. Fari Marish, the Iko Shinu Yashem, there is a change in the name. The Meikari Kshura, originally it's called a beam, called a Kshura, and now Vahashta Tlala, and now it's called a ceiling. In the Gilyan Ashas, he brings down the Meikari Kshura, that the Targum Shel Korasi is Shurisi, so therefore you see that it is called a Shura, and the Targum of Tlala is Osetzel, it makes a shadow. Targum Shel Batzel, the Tlali. So it means the ceiling. So the name changes from a beam into a Tlala. So Tanan, and we learned in the Mishnah, there's a Mishnah in Gittin, where they have many Takonas Derabanan. It says there was a Takonas Hamarish. Al Hamarish Hagazul Shibinov Bibira. That's my case of you stole the brick and built it into the Empire State Building, and now you're not going to go and knock down the entire building just to return the brick. So to over here, you have this beam that you built into the ceiling of your building, Al Hamarish Hagazul Shibinov Bibira, and you built it into this tower, and now, Minadin, you're not really Konet, because it is still extant, and you should have to go and return it. And Mipnei Takonas Hashavim, the rabbi said, listen, we want to facilitate this person to do tshuva. If you make him take down the whole building for this $10 beam, he ain't going to do tshuva. But if you say, okay, just give the $10, so he'll successfully have done tshuva because he paid back the value that he stole. Now, it's only because it's Takonas Hashavim. Taimo Mipnei Takonas Hashavim. That's why we allow him to go and give it back. But on a Kenyan level, he hasn't acquired it. And we turn to Samach Zayin Umar Aleph. Ha'olav ha'chi, if it wasn't for the fact of this Takonas Hamarish, the Takonas Hashavim, Hodor Be'enei, he would have to go and return the beam. So you see that the Shinu Yashem, it went from being a beam into now being called a ceiling. It went from being called one thing to have a Shinu Yashem. And with Yeyush, it is Koneh. So then, that doesn't seem to be true. So we're back to our original question on Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef would answer, Rav Yosef, no. Marish Shemo Olav, it didn't have a Shinu Yashem. That's why that's not true. My Shinu Yashem Teretz is right. But here, there was no Shinu Yashem. Because, I'll show you, Titania, we learned in Yecheskel, where it gives us the Pasuk, which talks about a certain Tzalos Habayis. So it says, it was Tzalos Habayis, and it says, Elu Hamal Teitin. These are something called Mal Teitim. In other words, even though they're called Tzalos Habayis, even though they're referred to now as these Tzalos, they still are referred to also as Mal Teitim, which is a certain type of beam. So the fact that the beam is now called something else, but it's still referred to as a beam. And the Ubim, Elu HaMerishos. So these beams are also called Merishos, but they're still referred to as Merishos, even though they now have a new name of Ubim. So the bottom line is that there really was no Shinu Yashem here. Yes, in the vernacular usage, they have a different name, but they're still referred to by their original name as well, and that's Teretz number one. How Rabbi Yosef would say that there is no Shinu Yashem over here. If there was a Shinu Yashem, I would agree. Teretz number two, Rav Zeira Amar, Shinu Yachozel Ibriyoso, an item that could be, in fact, returned to its original status and name. So originally it was a beam, and now it's called a ceiling. But guess what? If you take it apart, it will again be called a beam. You have a piece of wood that is now called the chair. You made it into a chair. But if you take it apart, it will now be called the piece of wood. So then Rav Zeira tells us, Shinu Yachozel Ibriyoso, if it will return to its original status, Bishinu Yashem Lo HaVishinoy. This situation, this Shinu Yashem is not called the Shinoi. So that's Teretz number two, that we're not dealing here with a real Shinu Yashem because it could return back to its original name if we wanted to. You'd have to take it apart. So therefore, it's only because of Takonas HaShavim. But in another situation where there would be Shinu Yashem with Yeyush, so then even Rav Yosef would say that that would be adequate to make a Kenyan. I just added an interesting aside from the Shor Mitzvah Ben Halacha. He says that Rav Yosef had a Shinu Hashem when he became the Rosh Yeshiva. He's now called the Rosh Yeshiva, so he had a Shinu Hashem. That's a good way to remember this sugya. And with this, we conclude today's share.